Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we are entering the final phase. Spent a lot of time on this episode, a lot of thinking on this episode. I was finally ready to deliver it. So I hope you enjoy. Go through a little history, where we are right now, and what to expect next. As always, you can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Take out your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe to follow us and get behind what we are doing. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. At tpusa.com, you can get our latest book on the Great Reset and become one of the over 100,000 people that support us at Turning Point USA. Come to our next big event coming up in Tampa, Florida. Go to tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. tpusa.com/SAS. Brought to you by Turning Point Action. We have Governor Ron DeSantis and President Donald Trump speaking. And then we also have Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Greg Gutfeld, Donald Trump Jr., Jesse Waters, Pete Hegseth, and more. Come to Tampa, Florida. It's going to be amazing, everybody. tpusa.com/SAS. As always, email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Welcome to the final phase. You are now in the final phase that will be the most difficult chapter, but victory is in our sights. This has been a multi-generational issue of conservatives versus the left. And we are now finally entering the final phase, and this will be the most difficult of all the phases. But what comes after this is us winning and them losing. So the left, for many years, quietly and methodically infiltrated our institutions. We know this. They took over and captured our core industries and our culture-shaping organizations. They were unbelievably successful, as we as conservatives basically did nothing through the 70s and through the 80s and through the 90s. Conservatives thought that they were a fringe academic movement, that, you know, that's kind of Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, but they're never actually going to get real power. For over 40 years, the left was able to infiltrate every single corner, capture every place that was able to make decisions that mattered. First, of course, academia, then media, parts of corporate life, the activist base, the governments, the civil service. And we realize that this is one of the reasons why our country became less free, why we were signing bad trade deals, why our immigration policy was so backwards, why we were seeing our liberties and our freedoms continually erode as we were engaging in a mass capitulation on almost every single issue to the left. Now, mind you, all of this was happening, and conservatives kind of shrugged it off. In the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and early 2000s, the left was getting away with highway robbery, and most conservatives thought it was no big deal. In fact, anyone that dared mention it was called a conspiracy theorist, like Pat Buchanan in the early 1990s. I go, what do you mean the left is taking over things? The stock market is going up, real estate prices are fine. Who cares? America's strong and always will be. In fact, on the center right, there was almost no oxygen in the room to talk about the Marxist infiltration in our schools. People kind of scoffed at it and they didn't take it seriously. But then phase two began. Slowly, all of a sudden, on the center right in America, there was a realization on how the enemy had penetrated every single vertical of society. For the last 40 years, all of a sudden, we did nothing. But around 2008, when Obama was elected, there was more and more chatter and conversation, articles, op-eds, speakers, movies like Dinesh D'Souza that would highlight, whoa, hold on a second. We are in a much weaker position than we would realize. New voices and theories started to emerge. I got my political start at this moment, where all of a sudden people would dive deeper and ask questions about who is Saul Alinsky? Who is Jacques Derrida, Michel Foucault? What is postmodernism? And theories started to emerge, exposing the left for their multi-generational shadow campaign. However, when conservatives started to speak up against this and have any courage to expose the left for the machine that was basically destroying the country from within, the left immediately stood up a professionalized name-calling operation. In 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, as there was more and more energy in the conservative base, as it became more mainstream to say, wait a second, they've been doing this for a long period of time. They're damaging our country intentionally. The left responded because they said, hey, they're onto us. How are we going to hold the line? Call them names. Racist, misogynist, colonialist. They were able to control us for quite some time by just uttering a single word, albeit false, baseless, without any evidence. But by calling people bad names, they were able to make us all kind of perpetually nervous that we were going to step on or trip a cultural landmine. You could see this in conservative circles in 2014-15, and 16. And yes, even when Donald Trump was on the scene, this sort of belief was still predominant, such as, well, this might come across as racist. This might come across as insensitive to this sort of minority group. Walking on eggshells very slowly and carefully. Because the left, they knew that we were starting to get onto them. We knew that we were starting to realize the damage that they were doing. So they responded hyper-aggressively, metaphorically carpet bombing our culture, anyone that dared to be successful, calling them a racist, misogynist, a homophobe, or trying to destroy their character. We saw lives that were completely destroyed and wrecked. Congressional staffers that had old tweets resurrected and their lives destroyed. Producers for Tucker Carlson, where they went into their history and said, that person's a racist and you shouldn't take them seriously. It was relentless. It was a campaign of accusations, baseless, trying to judge people based on a past that they might not be that same person, taking things out of context. So the left realized that the more careers they could upend, the more scalps that they could show, the more show trials that they could enact, the more reputations they could shred, the more they could control us. The more that we would kind of sue for peace, the more that we would come to the table to say, hey, hold on, okay, I know you might call me a racist, misogynist, a bigot, a homophobe, write a bad story about me in the Washington Post or the New York Times, but come on, like, let's, what do you want so you could stop? The machine that they created was able to, with almost a wave of a wand, get their wishes from conservatives, just based on being called the wrong name. Now, this name calling and widespread paralysis, it worked for years. I was part of the movement. In fact, I was under that spell for years. There would always be this kind of liberal tendency amongst some conservative circles of, well, how's the media going to think about this? Or how are we going to win over some reporter? Or how are we going to kind of come to some common ground? We were constantly under this false paradigm that if we just kind of said one virtue signaling thing, or all of a sudden the left or the media would believe, hey, okay, they're not racist and we'll let off and we'll treat them fairly. It controlled the center right almost with a magical spell. They were able to say a couple words and people kind of said, well, that's not that. I disavow, I fire that person, I kick that person out, and anything so that the left-wing activist groups don't control me. But then something happened. And it's hard to pinpoint the date or the time. And yes, it's thanks to Trump who taught us how to fight properly. But it almost was amplified more since he left the public scene, where the spell was broken. The hypnosis started to fade, and the name-calling and the attempted crusade of personal destruction began to lose its impact. Conservatives didn't care that you were called racist. They called Larry Elder the black face of white supremacy. It started to lose its meaning. Almost like watching a movie 600 times, it just loses its potency. It's hard to determine the date, but we started to shed the power that they had over us. And this spell that they were able to control us from fighting back for many years, or how to overcompensate or come to compromise, which is really capitulation, all of a sudden started to fade. And now we are entering the final phase. Big Tech is monitoring, censoring, mining, and selling your online information. And SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned and operated, SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one application supporting your private connection with others of your choice. Safety brings together your friends, family, team, club business, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. The SquadPod application is encrypted, protecting your communications and content without annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I have gotten to know the SquadPod team quite well, and they are true patriots of the mission of dedicating themselves to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and other organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by visiting squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. So as we enter this final phase, the left now knows their go-to move no longer works. They can't just use the blitzkrieg of name-calling. It doesn't work anymore. They can't control us the way they used to. The accusations mean less and less. And now almost when you get called these names by the Washington Post or by New York Times, it's almost now being worn as a badge of honor. We as conservatives have now shed their sway over us. They dominate us no longer. We are free. At YWLS, our Young Women's Leadership Summit, Turning Point USA event, these young ladies said, I don't care what they call me. They could call me whatever they want. I'm free. I know what I believe. That is a totally different tone, by the way, than what we saw 4 or 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, it was, well, I want to have a good career and get an internship, and I'm going to try to convince my liberal friends I'm actually not a racist. Now we realize that entire kind of experiment is totally a waste of time. They're going to call you that no matter what. Don't be a racist, obviously. They're racists, obviously. But don't waste your time. These people don't mean well, especially in the media. And it was further illuminating for me when I was sitting down with some of our donors at Turning Point USA for our 10-year anniversary. And one of the donors was talking and they said, oh, Charlie, you know, what are the worst, you know, things the media calls you? I said, oh, they call us racist and all this stuff baselessly. And they said, so what? And that donor that said that 5 years ago used to be hypersensitive to those types of articles. Like, ooh, wow, I don't know. There's articles are saying. Now they said, so what? Who cares? And I said, wow. From the activist side to the donor side, you're starting to see a hardening, a strengthening of, we don't care what you call us anymore. We're going to keep on building. We're going to keep on supporting the good guys. We are going to double and triple down. The spell has been broken. And this is now the final phase. The final phase is not us doing this. No, no, no. The final phase is now realizing that the left has only one thing left. Now, this is the final, most difficult phase. And you're going to see this, especially in the next couple of months. So hold on, buckle up, get ready. Because the left, the media, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Huffington Post, they are rapidly realizing that their go-to attacks against conservatives don't work anymore. They are now realizing, wait a second, we can't destroy careers like we used to. Conservatives won't fire their own. Our ability to be able to control them is weakening. And so they are recalibrating their attacks and their strategy as we enter this final phase. Remember, they were able to infiltrate society for 40 years and we ignored them. Then we woke up and we started to talk about it. And then they professionalized the name-calling operation. But this final phase, we said, you can call us whatever you want. We're going to build new stuff and run better candidates, make better arguments, expose your treachery, shine a light on your deceit. What are you going to do about it? And the answer is this. This is what they're going to do about it. All they have left is brute force. They now know that the name-calling thing is not going to get them anywhere. And so now they are going to rely on pure deplatforming, banning, and yes, criminal and civil force. This final phase, which will be the rockiest, the most turbulent, the final that we have to go through until we achieve victory against these people, is very clear. They're going to use every piece of power that they have been able to get at their disposal over the last 40 years. They were reluctant to do this. They did this here and there. You know, Roger Stone and Paul Manafort and Michael Flynn, and they did it in little corners. But they know that once you engage in this, a bad precedent is set and that we can also use equal and opposite reaction power against them. They don't want this, but they have no choice left because we have been awakened and now we have been empowered and we have been strengthened to the extent where all of their little tricks, their rules of the game no longer apply to us. Oh, you guys control YouTube? Okay, we'll just put 2,000 mules on Rumble. Oh, you guys control Twitter? Okay, we have Truth Social and Getter. Oh, you're going to call us a racist? We don't care. You want an apology, New York Times? You're not going to get one. You want to talk to us? We're not going to speak to you. And this is happening at every level of the movement. So they only have one choice left, to use the power that they've been able to assume over 40 years. What does that look like? What does that mean? We're going to go into that because it's going to get messy. They are going to get desperate, and that is the final phase. And I just want to warn you, we get through this, victory is ours. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted, only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95. See if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. So what is this final phase then? The final phase is the desperation of the left realizing that they control, yes, the institutions, but they do not control the people, that the people are defecting from them in record numbers, that their games and their cutting of corners and their cheating will no longer be honored, and them realizing that their ability to control us, their magical spell, has faded. You see this as grassroots activists and candidates running for office, they just kind of shrug off attacks. This is happening right now in Arizona, where Blake Masters is being called a racist by the media. And he's like, that's not what I said. I'm not a racist. And basically, go take a hike. Other Republican candidates are trying to attack Blake Masters here in Arizona by calling him a racist. And that is being super rejected by the conservative base. Where the conservative base is seeing other candidates attack Blake Masters here in Arizona, and they're like, no, actually, don't act like a leftist. He's not a racist because he shared some Facebook article 12 years ago that had 25,000 words that you cherry pick one part of it and he didn't necessarily endorse it. Like, actually, that's a scum-like tactic. And it is. And so you're seeing this in every corner. You saw it when they tried to attack J.D. Vance. Like, oh, he's a racist. Nobody cared. Now, let me be very clear. Conservatives actually have a radar for legitimate racism. That's why we know Nicole Hannah-Jones and Robin DiAngelo and Ibram X. Kendi and Ta-Nehisi Coates. We know that they are racists. We know that. But we know that people on our side, we referee racism, and they don't. There's no place for it in the conservative movement. It doesn't exist. And yet on the other side, they're the ones that built entire political movements around it. And this kind of realization of how disingenuous, dishonest, and power-hungry the left is has empowered us, but they are now going to respond with pure force. They're going to respond by only intensifying what we've already seen little whispers of. Raiding James O'Keefe's apartment. Going after Trump allies and Trump donors. Arresting Peter Navarro at an airport. We have Peter Navarro coming on the program, I think, in the third hour. Going after political dissidents. They're only going to intensify this because they can no longer control us by name calling. So they're going to attempt to control us by saying, if you think the wrong thing and say the wrong thing and associate with the wrong person, you could end up in handcuffs. If it sounds Soviet, you're exactly right. That's all they have left. All they have left is bare knuckle tactics of pure force, kicking you off of social media. Because the way they used to control us by kind of the public mockery trial of tarring and feathering you and embarrassing you doesn't work. They called parents domestic terrorists. It didn't work. So now they have to criminally go after parents that show up at school board meetings. You see the names and the accusations. I think that part of it is that post January 6th, when they called half the country domestic terrorists, because a couple lunatics decided to get violent, and some other people made some bad judgment to go take selfies in the Capitol Rotunda, and then they become political prisoners. I think most Americans take a step back and they say, wait a second, calling half the country domestic terrorists and trying to create a new Patriot Act and a political apparatus, while I can't afford gas, my kids are being indoctrinated, and our borders are wide open, and our economy is going in the gutter, somehow I don't think that's the most important thing. So how does this connect to now current events? Well, understand that the intent of the January 6th committee is going to try to create a show trial, which is literally what's happening on Thursday, by the way, to try to have a public primetime spectacle to try and get as many people in handcuffs as possible to try to stop our movement. Now, they could maybe pull off some of this if the economy wasn't totally in the gutter because people just believe what is on television. But that they only believe what's on television if their wallet is just not getting, like, there's not like a drive-by shooting for their wallet every other day. Gas in Phoenix, Arizona, diesel, $6. I just went for gas near where I live, $5.80 in the valley. Not sustainable for the Democrats at all. And so on Thursday evening, the January 6th committee, they are going to go all in, and this is the final phase. It's going to get nasty. It's going to get messy. They're going to go all in with a show trial on Thursday evening, trying to tell everyone what they learned through the January 6th committee. Even though leaks are showing, according to advisors of the January 6th committee, there is no conspiracy. There is no centralized planning. There is none of that. So the January 6th committee on Thursday is a great example of everything we've been talking about. It is pure and total desperation. Now, I want you to think for a second of anybody in your life that has been desperate. How do people act when they are desperate? They act erratic. They're out of control. They're unable to make sound decisions. I want you to imagine an entire political movement that controls our political bureaucracies, our media, our major corporations, our schools, that will all simultaneously be in mass desperation mode. Now, the mass desperation will kind of be funny and silly from some people in society, desperation is not funny or silly when you control the Department of Justice. It is not funny and silly. It's very real. When they can rig juries against people like Michael Sussman, and then they go and arrest Peter Navarro, they go and arrest Steve Bannon. What I am trying to tell you to get ready to anticipate is that as we enter this final phase, if we get through this final phase and their brute force does not break our will, which I do not believe it will, if their brute force does not get us to sue for peace, which I do not believe we will, if their brute force and their criminal force does not get us to wave the white flag, then they will have nothing left. They've tried the character assassinations. They've tried deplatforming. They've tried taking us off every single social media site. The closest analogy I could give is like high school bullies. First, the bully. A bully always starts bullying, usually and typically not through physical force, but just through kind of, you could say, just vocal intimidation. Verbal intimidation, I should say. You're dumb, you're ugly, you're fat. And then if it necessary, you try to stand up to that bully or you try to say something in return, they might try physical confrontation against you, push you down. Now, the only way to fight a bully, and again, this is true psychologically, if you look at any sort of data behind it, it's true psychologically where if you stand up to the thing that you fear the most, if you stand up to the thing that is controlling you and you look that thing in the eye, that's actually how you get over that thing. It's called immersion in psychological data. And that's exactly what is happening with the entire conservative movement at every corner. And Rush Limbaugh for years tried to get the conservative movement to do this, and he was largely not taken seriously by most Republicans. Not to say that conservative grassroots totally ignored him, but Rush was always telling us, don't take the bait. Don't take these people seriously. Don't do, and he was right. Tucker, I think, has embodied this beautifully. They attack him, he doubles down. They attack him, he attacks back. They call him a racist, he mocks them and calls them a racist. It's right there. And Trump taught us as well. And this new conservative movement, it's a movement that is finally prepared to win. Finally. We were not prepared to win in the 1990s. We were not prepared to win in the 2000s. We were not prepared to win when we had Mitt Romney as our nominee. But finally, in a very interesting way, the true Trump legacy actually has come a year and a half, 2 years after he's left the office, as we've dealt with more of the left's name calling and more of their brute force. It's kind of the spirit of, we're going to hold the line. You could take everything you possibly can from me. What else do I have to lose? Some people are saying to me, how much worse can life be when I'm dealing with all this inflation? The kids are being indoctrinated. The schools are a mess. The border is wide open. My history is being destroyed. We have drag queen story hour. I don't care anymore. And that is the final phase. I don't know how long it's going to be. What I'm saying is they're going to launch every missile they have. You think they're going to give up their 45 to 50 year gains overnight? You think all of a sudden they're going to give up the gains they have with the FBI and the CIA, Department of Justice, Microsoft and Google and Goldman Sachs and the bureaucracies from Stanford to Harvard? Do you think they're just going to give up immediately? No. But they're afraid and they're paranoid. They're desperate. And desperate people and desperate movements do not hit things with precision. It's erratic. We can beat an erratic left. For years, the left was patient. They were deliberate. And now they are desperate and they are clinging onto anything to try to get back to power and to silence us. But guess what? Our movement's here to stay. Our movement is anti-fragile. We are stronger than ever before. And they don't know what to do. A war is being waged on reality, everybody, and the left is leading the charge. Their radical gender ideology has seeped into children's classrooms, into medical terminology, and into our everyday life. It's producing a generation of psychological infants and confused young people. Not only that, but this radical ideology is trying to erase the people who brought us all into the world, women. Now, Matt Walsh of the Great Daily Wire is taking matters into his own hands. He recently embarked on a journey around the world to ask one simple question. What is a woman? And you'd be surprised not only how few are capable of answering, but also how many have a completely twisted idea of what a woman is. Thankfully, he got his whole experience on film. The documentary They Don't Want You to See, What Is a Woman? You can check it out today at dailywire.com/Charlie. Radical gender ideology have a not-so-secret agenda, and this film exposes it all. Check out What Is a Woman at dailywire.com/Charlie. That is dailywire.com/Charlie. Front page of Bloomberg Politics. Voters aren't punishing GOP candidates over January 6th attack. They're backing them. Yeah, because they realize what actually happened that day. And they realize also that they're not going to just buy the media narrative to be upset about the next thing. I think actually part of the one of the reasons why the name calling has lost its kind of potency is also they so overdid it post Floyd. It was actually working in COVID. Anti-masker. You're an anti-vaxxer. Like, no one cares. You can call me whatever you want. The Bloomberg Politics article says, far from being punished by voters, some candidates who attended the January 6th rally and disputed the presidential outcome are winning Republican primaries. Julian Zalazar, a Princeton University presidential historian, said, the fact that this isn't a game-changing moment is pretty remarkable. It's historically hard to believe. Yeah, welcome to the new right. Welcome to the final phase. Your attacks don't work against us anymore. So now they're just going to resort by just trying to take chess pieces off the chessboard. Just like pure Stalinist, we just have to arrest more people type stuff. Not going to work. Polls show the Republican Party's on track to make big gains in the midterm elections, despite fielding candidates who embrace the false narrative of election fraud. Whatever. We don't care. You can say whatever you want. Watch 2,000 Mules. That's my response to every journalist. Have you seen 2,000 Mules? Have you seen 2,000 Mules? Have you seen 2,000 Mules? And they said, well, can we get a quote from you? Well, my quote in 2,000 Mules will speak for myself. So you can use my quote in 2,000 Mules. Much of that is being driven by highest inflation in 40 years, soaring gas prices, and Biden's slumping approval ratings. So I will say that this new right, this final phase that doesn't care what they call us, it is in part because of the economic misery people are living through. Like, people don't want to be lectured by some academic from Princeton about the historical significance of systemic racism. Like, yeah, I can't afford gas. Like, shut up. Like, I know that you're probably earning $220,000 a year to go teach kids about queer theory. I can't afford to drive across the valley, and so nothing you're saying actually matters to me. And this is the tension, right? It's the tension between the academic and the people that stare at clouds all day long and ideas that are never going to be enacted and people that are actually in the weeds, the grassroots, the muscular economy. And the Democrats have gone all in on the esoteric. They've gone all in on the vague. They've gone all in on the ideological. They've gone all in on the far off, distant, and philosophical. And Republicans, not because of anything brilliant that we've done as a party, but thanks to good candidates, we're actually focusing on the material, the real, the temporal, the immediate, which is, believe it or not, people actually care much more about whether or not they have to go into debt to drive their kid to school than whether or not queer theory is being taught in colleges across America. Like, not exactly an immediate concern. And I think people are starting to get super agitated and empowered and ready to fight back as the kind of insistence from the national media narrative is they want you to continue to focus on these issues. I mean, Oregon nonprofits ask for $100 million federal investment to address white supremacy. Meanwhile, Oregon is 84% white. And so we're at this moment in time where we've gone through all these different phases, and this chapter that we are in, they're going to deploy everything they possibly can. And yes, that means shenanigans when it comes to the voting in November. They're going to try to continue to have mass mail-in voting. They're going to try to lock us down and do all those things. That's all in the cards. But if we get through this and we break through it, which I believe we will, the left will become a completely irrelevant political force in our country. We still have to recapture institutions and build our own and deal with the federal bureaucracy, all those different things. But all of their kind of soft power is gone. Op-eds, tweets, name-calling, billboard campaigns, threats of cancellation. We're going to call your employer. Nobody cares. Doesn't work anymore. In fact, we're stronger than ever as a movement. We know who they are. We know how to defeat them. And you don't give them an inch on anything. These are the people that try to ruin our lives at every corner. So what? You draw the line and you push back twice as hard. And this final phase is the last before victory. And that should give you hope. The hope is that they will have nothing left, and we defeat this, and we turn the corner on this. We will experience a constitutional reset, a conservative renaissance, a moment of victory that we have not seen in my lifetime or generations prior. And the bad guys know it. That's why they're becoming so desperate, neurotic, and erratic. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast by typing in Charlie Kirk Show and hitting the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.